ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम तम त्वामहं ज्ञानघ्नं स्वभावा त्वं त्वामहं ज्ञानघ्नं स्वभावा प्रभष्ट माया गुणभेद माहे प्रदवष्ट माया गुणभेद मोहे स्नानादयो यैर मुनिभिर विभाव्यम् सनंदनायैर मुनिभिर विभाव्यम् कथं विमूढा प्रभिवाम प्रभिवायामि तं त्वाम अहं ज्ञान घनम्। Translation proper by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. O my Lord, sages freed from the influence of the three modes of material nature, sages such as the four Kumars, Sanat, Sanak, Sanandana and Sanatana, are able to think of you who are concentrated knowledge. But how can an ignorant person like me think of you? Purport. The word Swabhava refers to one's own spiritual nature or original constitutional position. When situated in this original position, the living entity is unaffected by the modes of material nature. Sagunan samati yaitan brahma bhuyaya kalpate. Bhagavad Gita 14.26. As soon as one is freed from the influence of the three modes of material nature, he is situated on the Brahman platform. Vivid examples of personalities thus situated are the four Kumars and Narad. Such authorities can by nature understand the position of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, but a conditioned soul not freed from the influence of material nature is unable to realize the Supreme. In the Bhagavad Gita 2.45, therefore, Krishna advises Arjun, Traigunya Vishaya Veda Nristraigunya Bhavarjuna. One must rise above the influence of the three modes of material nature. One who stays within the influence of the three modes of nature is unable to understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead. We are in this chapter of the sons of Sagara meet with Lord Kapila Dev. And we are hearing the prayers offered millions and millions of years ago, even prior to the descent of the Ganga, by a very special personality, the grandson of Maharaj Sagar, who has offered some very nice prayers here. Very simple, heartfelt, not extremely philosophical and complex, but based on his own basic understanding of what the situation is, he's offering his nice prayers. This is Lord, this is Maharaj Anshuman speaking. So he is focusing the subject of his prayer is based on the situation which has just happened. He is fully aware that his ancestors, his immediate ancestors, 60,000 sons of have been all killed. Many of them, so many thousands of them, they just saw Kapila Muni, who is the Saktavish Avatar of the Lord, of course. He is not ordinary personality, he is a Supreme Personality. And unable to see him for what he actually is. They were seeing him, but they were not actually seeing him. They didn't see him for what he was. He was a supreme lord. But seeing him with a covered vision, based on their own inner passions, to find the horse. And being consumed by that passion, they gave into anger. As we know, passion gives rise to anger. Kamaesha, krodhaesha. Immediately, the unfulfilled passion gives rise to krodha. That krodha even further covered them over, because krodha is a thicker layer than kama in terms of its ability to cover. It bewilders you even more. And that led to complete bewilderment. And the krodhagni so produced was so intense that burned all of them to ashes. So Maharaj Anshuman is now understanding that these are very unfortunate. My brothers were very unfortunate that they were seeing. Imagine able to see the Lord. What a blessing, right? To see the Lord. To see the Lord is something so, it only happens after with a rare amount of, even any amount of pious work cannot lead you there. But they got to see the Lord. And not one or two, all of them got to see the Lord. But all of them en masse, in toto, failed to see and understand that he is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So he's offering this prayer saying that they were all covered. We are all covered by the three modes. So let us try to understand today what really helps us to see. What is this seeing thing? We want to see the Lord, yes? We want to hear the Lord. We want to feel the Lord. We want to touch the Lord. We want to get in touch with the Lord. That was George Harrison's prayer in a song. My sweet Lord, when can I see you? When can I get in touch with you? Right? And Prabhupada liked that. That is a hankering of a jivatma. When can I see the Lord? When can I be with the Lord? So what helps us to really see? Where does seeing capacity come from? The obvious answer, yes, how can we see things? Comes from the eyes. You open your eyes and you see. But is that the answer? Can we see with these eyes? No? Can't see this. Devotees will always say no. But the materialists say a loud yes. Yeah! We can see with our eyes. In fact, we don't believe anything which is not seen by the eyes. So much emphasis, unbelievable amount of stress being given only to one sense organ, the eyes. Prabhupada used to argue very simply against this by saying, why aren't you giving importance to the ears? What is so special about the eyes as opposed to the ears? If something is heard, why is it not as important as what is seen? It was a very simple argument, and I don't think anybody has any answer to that. No. We have selected only the eyes. We are not going to select the ears as important. The eyes. So the entire scientific edifice, what we call as modern science, rests on this premise that all that is reality is observable. So they will go through extensive lens of research using the most powerful telescopes. They have installed some telescopes in the top of practically Siberia there, North Pole, which can so huge lenses, almost big as a room, big room. Such powerful lenses are installed there to see what? The black holes. They can't see anything. There's this black hole there. So there's a black hole. So they want to see everything, analyze through the eyes. The whole health industry is also based on this. So now they are all promoting this very strongly. It's called as evidence-based medicine. Where is the evidence? It's a big scandal of the health industry. So you only use those drugs which have evidence that they work. There is all Ayurvedic sort of things or homeopathy things are all automatically out. But there's no research taking place in Ayurveda. There is no such thing as in homeopathy. You can't prove because the drug is so tiny. In homeopathy, for example, they give these pills which are so, the actual component is just some mother tincture they put. And their mother tincture also is made out of so much of dilution. So each tablet has maybe 1/1,000,000th of a molecule. One molecule out of that whole bottle. So they do what is called trituration, which makes the potency increase with dilution. So 1 mL or 1/1,000,000th potency when you take, it is 1 million times diluted. And 6x is 6 times diluted. So when you give 1 mL, it works more powerful than 6x. But why is it working? Because it is 1 million times diluted. So there is nothing there practically to even do research about, because it is 1 million dilution means what is there? So again, that whole thing becomes unscientific. Correct? So only, so that automatically they eliminate the major pathies of this world, which really are effective. And then to do research to show what is actually working, you need money. Correct? To show that what is really works in the human body, they do so much of research, killing millions of rats, albinos, albino rats, lizards, monkeys. They kill, to do research on diabetes, they kill animals called as Gila monster. And they kill him for his salivary glands. And they analyze his salivary gland structure, how it matches with insulin structure. Oh, it's unbelievable what these people can do. So for doing all this research, which costs billions of dollars, before actually the drug comes to the market for consumption, it costs millions of dollars. And who can give that money? Only the people who, these big pharma companies can give it. There cannot be any research institute which can ever do any research unless it is given grants by the pharma companies. So only those drugs which pharma companies feel are profitable are sponsored for research. Anything else is not, you know, giving out to give profit, they don't sponsor any research, and that drug is thrown away into the basket, even if it is very effective. So the whole scandal of this world is that only those drugs, after spending millions of dollars, can come to the market which lead profit, whether they are, they have to be effective. And all these results are manipulated severely by the top scientist. But scientists also need research to survive. If you are a scientist and you don't have money to do research, what kind of scientist you are? You are a scientist by degree, but you don't do any research, then you know you are a useless scientist. But to do the research, you need money, and you depend heavily on the pharma company. So anyway, the point is that we are in such a world, such a evil type of world, where all this sort of things are happening. Where so much emphasis only on knowledge based on what is perceivable by the eyes. But anyone can understand that the eyes are so unimportant for seeing. Anyone can understand. You put an X-ray in front of all of you and say, what is this showing? So it's some black and white spots are there, that's all. A simple X-ray also, and millions of people see, if they're not trained to see, they will not understand anything. They'll just see some black and white spots. Right? But somebody who's trained can say, oh, this is pneumonia. Or this is an enlargement of the heart. So you require what? You require? So eyes are really important to see? No. What require? Beyond eyes, you require knowledge. Now you require knowledge. Knowledge is more important. Even a blind man has knowledge, he can see. Correct? Blind has knowledge, he can see. But even if you have eyes, you have no knowledge, you can't see. So what is more important, eyes or knowledge? So what really penetrates ignorance is not eyes, but what penetrates ignorance is knowledge. But even then, if you say these eyes are important, as Prabhupada used to argue, how important are the eyes are? You can't see in darkness. So eyes are not the really organs to see. Unless you are in an illuminated area, you can't see anything. And all light, where does it come from? We are trying to understand through this logical sequence that ultimately you depend everything on Krishna. We are trying to do this proof. So even if you have eyes, you can't see in darkness. So what really helps you to see? Light. And all light comes from the sun. Correct? All light comes from the sun. of course, in the night, it is the reflected light of the sun through the moon. So that's the sun you can see. The sun is called as the eye of this world. Yachakshura. Like as we have eyes, this universe also has eyes. The universe also is a person. Everything is a person. So the universal eyes are the sun. Yachakshura savita sakala grahanam. Sakala grahan. The eyes of all the grahas is savita. Savita means the sun. But even if the sun is shining, where does the sunshine come from? Is it the ultimate source of all light? For the ordinary materialist, yes. All light comes from the sun, and that's the end of it. Right? But where does the sunshine come from? Prabhupada gives a very simple, basic, nice childhood example. So sweet, Prabhupada can think. Prabhupada is a supreme scientist. Is it not? One who knows Krishna knows everything. Yashmi Vignatam, Sarmaiva Vignatam Bhavati. You can see Krishna, you know everything. So Prabhupada gives an example of us, of the lens, that concave lens we should use as children, and you'll put in the sun and then you focus it on something, and then it used to focus the light on one, and you should burn paper like that. Prabhupada is saying like that. You know, everyone has played with the mirror lens, and I remember as a child myself focusing that and burning paper with that. Some of you have done like that also. So we all have done burnt paper, right? And it actually goes into flames sometimes. The paper goes into flames, actually. You can illuminate even a matchstick with that. Suddenly it goes like that. But that is just the illumination of the... So just like the whole sun, which is millions of watts of power, and it has been coming through this lens in a small focused way. Similarly, this huge sun is just like that mirror. Focusing the light on this universe coming from where? From the Brahma Jyoti. So the Brahma Jyoti is, the sun is just gathering a minute, insignificant portion of the Brahma Jyoti's energy and focusing it only on one portion, that is the one universe. That's all. And it's infinite light. Brahman is infinite, right? It's infinite, it's all pervasive. So that infinite light is just being the instrument of the Lord to focus that light in one place is the sun. It's as significant as the man's lens. The huge sun is Krishna's small, insignificant, convex lens. That's all. Nothing more than that as far as Krishna is concerned. Right? So beautiful, yet so simple. And yet, all the light of the Brahma Jyoti is coming from where? It comes from Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Right? So all ability to see comes from the sun, and that comes from the Brahma Jyoti, and ultimately comes from Krishna. Right? So Krishna is the supreme cause of all causes. Krishna is the cause of the sun. The cause of the sun is, of course. So in this way, we can see that whether it is the sight or it is the hearing faculty or the tongue, everything, all this power comes actually only from Krishna. So we are not being fooled by the sun. Says, "Oh, you know, you should worship Krishna." It's not that they are just saying like that. Even when you think like this scientifically, we can understand that yes, it is coming from Krishna. So then, obviously, all glory goes to Him for whatever is existing in this world. Right? But the fascinating part of it is that there's not only one sun. There are how many suns? Each universe has one sun. But there are how many universes? There are millions of universes, billions of universes are there. And all that billions of universes are coming from Krishna. So you can imagine how much power, how much is the light of Krishna. How tejasvi is Krishna. So that's why when people say that Nityananda Prabhu was sitting at Panihati, Kaviraj Goswami says, right? He was like sharing the millions of suns. So wow, what does that mean? Is it an exaggeration? How can somebody shine like millions of suns? I mean, what does it mean? To shine like one sun or even to shine like a tube light is like too much. If you are shining like a tube light, you know, all halo around you or even a big halogen bulb is behind you. If you shine like that, even that is like tremendous aura. Right? They call it aura, aura shakti. They can analyze, Kirlian photography can analyze the aura. But if you don't shine like that, it's tremendous. I remember I went with one mystic lady was there. Maharaj went to see her for some medical treatment and said, she was analyzing aura. And said, oh, this man's aura is like bouncing all over the entire place, in the entire room. So she was too much for her to understand, you know, how this man's aura is so much, so powerful. Of course, Krishna's shakti. So, but to shine with the aura of millions of suns, Nityananda Prabhu, is it an exaggeration? No, Kaviraj Goswami is not writing some, you know, euphemistic language, some, you know, bombastic language just to say, oh, he was very... Actually, Nityananda Prabhu shined like millions of suns at Panihati, right? Because he's the source of the sun himself. So, but the paradox is that when that person who's so brilliant, who makes everything in the world illuminated, when he himself comes, people don't see him. The one who is making the whole world see things as they are, millions of suns, when he himself comes into this world, people can't see him. As happened here with Kapila Dev. They could not see. How many people really could see Krishna when he was in this world for what he is? So what really helps us to see? Let's go one step further. What makes us see Krishna? Why can't we see Krishna? Because he is himself covered over. He is covered over and we are covered over. So two coverings. So we are first, we have the three modes of material we cover up completely. And when Krishna comes, what happens? He himself covers himself. With what? With the yoga maya. So imagine, how can you ever see Krishna? How can anybody ever see the absolute truth when there is thick covering of three modes, which is impenetrable, right? Mama maya. So the impossibly penetrable three modes, which makes you completely covered over. And when Krishna comes, he has his yoga maya, which is another impenetrable armor, kavach. And how can anyone ever see Krishna? It is actually impossible. It's just impossible. What makes that impossible possible? If something impossible, it should be impossible, right? But no, it is not actually absolutely impossible. It is possible to see Krishna. So we see now that there is something which can penetrate even Krishna's yoga maya. Krishna's yoga maya is not the ultimate covering power. Even that can be penetrated. But something more powerful than the sun. And that is called as Shuddha Bhakti. Pure devotion. Pure devotion has such power to illuminate. And we can see that. That Brahma, who is the most knowledgeable, he couldn't see Krishna when he was performing his Leela in Vrindavan. Brahma has got more power to see, not only because he has eight eyes, of course he can see so much more than us, but his eyes are not like our eyes. His eyes can see, he can be in Brahmaloka and look at what is happening in this temple, right? he can sit so many millions of miles away in Satyaloka and just see, like the eagle can see from far, you know, Sampati could see what's happening in Lanka, right? So Brahma's eyes are like that. He can see, sit in Brahmaloka and see what's happening in Radha Gopinath temple. So, you know, he is the original eagle of this entire universe. He can see wherever he wants. He can focus. His lens are so powerful. But Brahma could not see when Krishna covered himself with yoga maya. So even the power of Brahma is inadequate to reveal Krishna as he is. But that power which Brahma does not have is available to a simple village boy of Vrindavan. Because of that small boy's devotion to Krishna, pure devotion, Krishna becomes completely revealed. So what is the power to see? Where does the power to see come from? What is the answer ultimately? The power to see Krishna or to see anything in this world comes from devotion. Pure devotion. So we have a very powerful example of a person who was completely covered over, the Brahman Kumar or Jagai Madai. Just few minutes back, they were completely thickly covered over by dense layers of material modes of material nature. Jagai Madai, just few minutes back before the deliverance, was so deeply covered. Deep trench of ignorance. Now, we can imagine a person who is like heavy liquor every day. 24 hours a day, who is just having heavy liquor. And after drinking blood and eating flesh of cows, what happens to your consciousness? When you eat cow flesh every day, you know, you can eat cow flesh and you should never eat cow flesh, but even if you eat that flesh every day and drink wine and, you know, destroy the chastity of so many women every day, now what happens to that person's consciousness? You can't get more covered than Jagai Madai. Right? Nobody can get more covered. But that person was so deeply covered over. The moment he got the mercy factor from Nityanand Prabhu, that entire barricade, the entire covering of the most thickest impenetrable layer of modes was penetrated. Right? And his heart was given what? Bhakti. Because Nityanand Prabhu embraced him. The moment they got bhakti, then immediately they saw Gaurang Mahaprabhu for what he was. Correct? So by Nityanand Prabhu's grace, he got bhakti, and that bhakti made him see this is the supreme personality of Godhead. So we can see in this example the power or the penetration of bhakti. So bhakti can make things revealed. That's why Krishna in Gita is stressing so much about devotion. More than gyan, infinitely more than gyan, because the approach of jnana will take millions of years to make us understand Krishna. There is potency in jnana also. It can also reveal Krishna. But after, what are the time gap required? That cultural knowledge will take millions of lifetimes. But bhakti, as I said in this example, immediately reveals Krishna. Immediately. That is the power of bhakti. So we can see the in our scientific approach to bhakti, that is what we want to cultivate. Our entire process of sadhana bhakti is to cultivate that sort of bhakti which will make Krishna revealed, which will make the three modes break. Because still that happens, actually, we are not really seeing Krishna. So when we are seeing the Radha Gopinath, yes, we are seeing Radha Gopinath, but we are not seeing real Radha Gopinath. We are seeing a form of Radha Gopinath, but not in its original form. As a boy playing the flute in Vrindavan, we are not seeing like that. Why? Because we don't have that bhakti. So that is what is required. That when bhakti is there, it is so powerful that even if Krishna wants to cover himself over, he cannot do that. The power of bhakti is even more than the power of Krishna. That is the power of bhakti. Imagine what power bhakti Krishna has given. That even Krishna wants to maintain his four arms. Now who can really challenge Krishna to give them up? Krishna is playing his four arms. And when the gopis tell, coming to him and say, where is Krishna? Then he says, okay, this side. He's on that side. But when Srimati Radharani comes, what happens to those four arms? They just melt away. Imagine the power of Radharani's bhakti, that Krishna is unable to do something. Krishna can do anything. Krishna can do anything. What is it difficult for him to maintain his two arms? He's maintaining the entire creation. He can't maintain his own arms? What is the problem? Krishna is maintaining his Adhara Shaktim, we will say, right? Avalambya Paramsa Murtim. His Adhara Shaktim. His Adhara Shakti is the pillar who is resting, making the rest millions of universes. But that person who can maintain millions of universes can't maintain his own arms. And they melt away. They melt away. Why? Because in front of Srimati Radharani, her bhakti is so penetratingly powerful that Krishna has to come to his original personality as two arms. Is revealed. So what is happening? We can see bhakti again here is revealing Krishna as he is. So if you want to see Krishna ultimately, it's not these eyes, definitely not these eyes. It's not the sun. It is the power of devotion. Therefore, we are being stressed as sadhakas to cultivate this attitude of bhakti. And what is bhakti? Bhakti actually is lovingly offered service to Krishna. It is devotional service, but not just devotional service. It is service. Sometimes I find it difficult to understand this word, devotional service. In my own mind, I find it difficult to understand this word. So I put it ulta. I say it like that. It is service offered with devotion. That's the way I understand devotional service. Any service, serving prasadam during a yatra or managing a bus or creating, you know, software for whatever, the yatra management, huh? Or cooking team, whatever all of you are doing. Herculean task is huge, developing WADA project and this and that. So many services are being offered, right? So when that service is offered with devotion, now that gives us this special potency, which will make Krishna more and more. As the layers of modes are breaking, even Krishna actually is getting more and more revealed. Therefore, in the Shuddha Sattva platform, it is said, Sattvam Vishuddham Vasudeva Shabditam. And that mode of pure devotion, what happens? Vasudeva is revealed as he is. Gita as he is. So we are being fed with this power. So that is our prayer every day to Radha Krishna. We want this devotion. We want this bhakti, which makes us make things reveal. And when that happens, then nothing in the world can cover you up. You won't be covered by the illusory energy anymore. Whatever situation you are, good, bad, hellish situation, whatever it is, any situation you go into, when you carry the bhakti factor with you, then you can't get covered over. Even if you go to hell, it is said. See the power of bhakti. As a sadhaka, we need to just simply understand in our classes, in our meetings and satsangs, what we need to just train our consciousness to understand is that the power of Bhagavan, the power of bhakta, and the power of bhakti. If you understand these three things analytically, because, you know, we are an analytical platform of bhakti right now, right? We don't have the spontaneous platform of devotion. So we are in the analytical platform of bhakti, which is Jnana Mishra. Right? So on the Jnana Mishra platform, we simply have to hear pastimes, shlokas, and analytical prayers of Anshuman, whatever else is there, which keep on reinforcing again and again and again, repeatedly, into our dull consciousness, the power of bhakti, the power of Bhagavan, the power of a bhakta, a pure devotee of the Lord. And the more and more we become convinced that this is the highest thing. There's nothing higher than bhakti, nothing higher than Bhagavan, nothing higher than a bhakta. Once we get more and more convinced about this, then everything else automatically falls into a level of insignificance. Tuchhavat. The Goswamis were like that. Because they understood the power of these three things, even the power of this world as ministers, multi-millionaires, Rupa Goswami, right? All that fell into what? Sridhim Sada Tuchhavat. Because when the power of bhakti makes you see Krishna, in front of Krishna, what happens to this world? It becomes just insignificant. But till we don't have this bhakti, what will happen? Everything else appears very, very, even a little gray hair. You work in the mirror and say, "Arey, sapet ho gaya." So even a small graying of the hair become very significant problem. And we'll go to so many cosmetics and do some dyes and hair is falling. Okay, hair is falling. Spend 3 lakhs of rupees for hair transplant. So everything becomes, if you go fat, okay, I'm going fat, cut the fat, bariatric surgery, make me thin. So the fat becomes, I have a patient who spends, a young girl, unmarried, 17-year-old girl, who spends 60,000 rupees per month to keep herself slim. Can you imagine? 60,000 to keep herself just, and she's actually not got slim. She's not got really slim. She must have lost some 10 kilos, but she's still overweight. But that's, they say, this is, we can't go beyond this now. There's a limit to what we can make you thin now. And to maintain that state of apparent slimness, she has to pump in every day, every month, 60,000 of her father's hard-earned money. And I told her, the moment you stop this investment in your body, you'll become double than what you were before. Anyway, like that. So all these things become very significant. You're fat and you're graying hair and you're falling teeth and you're cataract and everything becomes very significant. Huh? But when Krishna is there, it's not significant. Huh? So yes, let us hope, let us pray that by hearing these Srimad Bhagavatam classes, by performing our sadhana bhakti, that we'll be blessed with that thing. When you go to a devotee, what do we ask for? What do we want from a devotee? You just want this one thing. Give me devotion to Krishna. The simple prayer, I want devotion to Krishna. Nothing else. This is the greatest wealth of this world. Everything else, like Radhamana says, what do you want all these things of this world? Everything is all Maya. The way Maharaj says it in one lecture, you know. It's beautiful. Huh? What is all this? All these things are just Maya. That which is not insignificant. But that will not happen till we have this bhakti factor. Things cannot just become insignificant just automatically. But when Krishna, when you see Krishna's glory, that's why the more we understand the glory of Krishna, Krishna is so great, bhakti is so great, everything else appears, then everything will become insignificant. Otherwise, on the relative platform, because everything has to be relative, when you see something so great, then this becomes small. But because not seeing the great thing, everything else appears to us very, very great here, very important. Because we're not seeing those things. You're not seeing Krishna. So everything in this world is very important for us. The stock market going up, going down, very significant. There's nothing great about it. See Krishna, it becomes insignificant. That's what Prabhupada used to always say in Hindi lecture, right? Krishna mahan hai aur hum tuch hai. But till you don't understand Krishna mahan hai, tab tak main tuch nahi hu. Then I'm also great. Rather, I am Bhagwan also, maybe. So that is the problem. Because we are not understanding the true glory of Krishna. Even as devotees, there is so much more our consciousness needs to understand the glory of Krishna. The source of millions of universes, the source of millions of suns, the source of millions of Lord Shivas, the source of millions of Shankarshans. All this are coming from the source of millions of Narayans, from all these millions of Vaikuntha planets. All this is coming from this one person, Krishna. He is so great. He is so great. Hare Krishna. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.